Hey gents, welcome back to another podcast. I'm joined here by Grant again here in the studio. Grant, so great to have you here on the podcast again. And today we're talking about a topic I think that we're very invested in, we value a lot, and that's not just brotherhood, but biblical brotherhood in Christ.
Yes.
And that just goes beyond friendship. And that's not unhealthy, but just really walking together as men.
Yes. Yeah, gents, welcome from my side as well. And brotherhood is spoken about a lot, but it is lived out very little, I think, in our modern setting. And we're going to talk about all the reasons why it is something that people feel challenged in this area of walking it out. And we can confuse it, as you say, with friendship and with just good banter and shared interests. But Scripture paints a much deeper picture for us than just being friends.
Exactly. You know, brother, it isn't casual, Grant. Yeah. It's not an equalization as well. It's costly. It's spiritual. It's spiritual. It's valuable. And it's missing when men drift, when they isolate themselves, you know, and eventually we then ask the question, like, why did I fall away? You know, it's because, where was the men in your life that carried you, that supported you, that encouraged you? And I think today there's so much to unpack, but I think we want to look at three real marks that the Bible shows us what biblical brotherhood looks like. And the first one what we want to look at is that brotherhood is actually rooted in Christ and not in convenience. You know, it's so easy to just have somebody on speed dial on your phone or WhatsApp and just quickly phone, and then you superficially share something. And when I mean that, it's just surface level. And Christ has not called us to go surface level with one another, but deep. And it's there where we have to allow the Word to begin to guide us. And it says in Romans 12, verse 5, it says, "So in Christ, though we are many, we form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." That's a huge phrase, Abraham.
Yeah, it's huge for me because it actually says that we belong to one another. And so it doesn't give us an option here. Biblical brotherhood is not an option for us. This is just how discipleship works. And it is a language that I feel we're not using enough. We're not talking about discipleship that much in church life and amongst one another anymore, but it's such an important term. And it is important because we cannot follow Jesus alone. I cannot sit in my room alone and just with my Bible and just follow Jesus. Just obviously we read the Scripture.
Yes.
But the Bible doesn't just suggest this. It says go out and make disciples.
Yes.
And so biblical brotherhood is a thing that we should pursue. And it is important in the one sense that we should also understand it's not a codependency that we are creating here.
But what, explain codependency, because I don't think we always understand what that means until somebody tells us and shows us what it is.
Codependency, from my point of view over the years, is when I sit, for instance, with you, Eddie, and I cannot live the Christian life without you in a very unhealthy way.
Yeah.
Where everything has to be checked by you, and you have to check it off and say, "Grant, go ahead. You can more, you know, do this." And so that's the unhealthy part.
Okay.
That's where you don't empower me to make decisions together with Christ. And so obviously we're going to unpack this a little bit later in what we are talking about. But this is a space where we do say to one another, we are going to be vested in taking responsibility of each other's Christian growth So yeah. There's a co-investment, not a codependency.
Yeah. Love that.
And there is a co-investment in healing even in one another's lives and perseverance in one another's lives. So sometimes I need someone to tell me, well, Grant, you can really do this. I believe in you. Show some perseverance in this.
Yeah, yeah.
Or when I need healing, just, you know, pray for me.
Exactly.
So we do walk it out in that way.
Yeah. And I think if we put it in layman's terms or just or what it means, it's we don't use one another.
No.
You know, we're not there to take advantage or just use our gifts or what can I get from the other one. It's more about belonging, walking together, dwelling together on certain things. It's also that brotherhood means that, you know, it's lasting. It doesn't come in seasons. It's not a weakness, but it's actually a strength. You know, if you look at, I mean, there's so many movies, but I always think of 300.
Yeah.
You know, it's 300 against a huge Persian army, but they were a brotherhood.
Yeah.
It was one of the values they had, and it was a strength because they did everything together in synchronization. And I think it's when we take that model and we take that as an example, that when we're covered by our brothers, we've got our backs, and we and I don't mean that in an unhealthy way. It just means that we are there to dwell and be kind and share the truth with one another. And if there's something, we don't just leave, we stay. And then also, it builds unity. And unity comes because there's purpose. It's not comfort.
Yeah.
Because it does get uncomfortable.
It does. It does. Jesus reinforces this with scripture in John 13, verse 34 to 35. It says, love one another as I have loved you. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples.
Yeah.
And so brotherhood becomes this visible testimony to the world around us. This is how people will know. So it's not brotherhood is not selfish.
No.
It's not self-directed.
Yeah.
It's actually there so the world can view how we do things, how we care for one another, how we're there for one another. You said you've got my back. What that means is standing back to back. And if anything is, and we're in total unity and understanding scripturally surrounding that statement. So we are not protecting one another irregardless. There has to be correction as well.
Yes.
But so when we stand back to back, we say, well, if there's arrows coming for your back, I'm going to look at that attack. I'm going to view that attack. I'm going to see if, you know, how does God want to protect this situation? And so we love one another. We care for one another. And brotherhood is how the invisible Christ becomes visible to the world, is by us caring for one another.
Yeah, it's so good. And that's why Hebrews 3 verse 12 to 13 warns us why this actually matters. It actually gives us a warning. It says, see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart. Encourage one another daily. And you know, almost in a sense, brotherhood keeps the heart alive, you know? And I want to say this, like, real brothers in Christ, they stay when it gets uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And there's so many times when I've seen it and I've experienced it where people leave one another's lives when it gets uncomfortable, when there's too much drama, and it goes both ways. And I realize there's so much to sort out. There's so much to walk through. I can't handle this. Okay, but if Jesus can handle this, why can't you?
Yeah.
If Christ has called you to be in this man's life, then why don't you walk with him? Christ hasn't asked you to fix his problem. Christ has asked you to walk with him. So don't run away. Stay. That's the only part that you don't flee. You flee from rust. You flee from any other thing that's ungodly and you run towards Christ. But this is where Christ is asking you to stand your ground.
Yeah.
Because you're holding your brother's arms up in there because he's now in a place of weakness and we need to support him.
Yeah.
And I think that's for me, I'm very passionate about that because when somebody makes a mistake, when somebody walks in sin, and they keep on making the same mistake over, suddenly everybody leaves them. But who's gonna tell him the truth? Who's gonna tell him to say, "Hey, my man, come on, this is what the word says, and my responsibility towards you in our relationship is to tell you the truth, but I'm not going to run away. I'm going to irritate you until you answer the phone and have a coffee with me so I can look you in the eyes, tell you that I love and support you. What you are currently doing is not the will of God. How can I care for you and support you so that we can get you back to a place where you can turn to Jesus and allow him to set you free?"
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
And so, for me, one of the biggest threats to brotherhood is that just surface level, skimming it on the surface connections, where we can have a coffee and we can just talk about the weather and how it's going and where you're going on vacation, how's it going with the family. I think that's all very important to build rapport, to build that relationship. But that's just having surface level relationships. Biblical brotherhood creates space for truth without fear. And when we walk in that truth, we have to confront, well, is there, I think it's a question for today, what keeps us back from biblical relationships with one another? Is there anything there? Is there fear? So James 5:16 says, "Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed." And the emphasis here is not public confession, but safe, trusted, reciprocal relationships. And we've talked a lot about this, but I think people get hurt. I got hurt. You got hurt in relationships in Christ. And through our discussion here today, I think what's important that I want to highlight is that's even something you need to take to Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, when you are sitting in a space where you don't know that the relationship is safe or trusted, or a reciprocal, then you're not going to walk in that relationship. So this is mutual, and there's no hierarchy in this. You're not going to pull that card in this type of relationship. It assumes trusted brothers who walk closely enough to carry truth without condemnation. So whatever someone brings to me must be weighed in that space that Christ forgives. I cannot condemn this. We can bring correction.
Yes.
And that's just as important. But if there's just the smallest bit of a smell of condemnation, that's not how brotherhood should look.
Exactly.
It should be without condemnation, but with correction.
Exactly. And also want to say this, is that whatever gets shared in a safe space, in a trusted space, as you said, is so weighty, we must be careful not to weaponize it.
Yeah. So true.
That's where it becomes unsafe.
Let's talk about that weaponization. How does it look? Let's get practical.
I think it's when I say to you, say, "Grant, I struggle with lust." And then, or I struggle financially. Let's take this one. I think this is more relevant for me. And I've got this in place, or I've got this in debt. How do I deal with this? And then one day I would say something like, "Yeah, but I did this and this and things came right," or and then somebody comes and suddenly you come and you say to me, "Remember, I told you that you need to do this and this and you didn't listen to me." Now you're finding yourself again in this space, and suddenly it's like, "But I shared this with you," or you went behind my back and shared it with somebody else.
And that's where the pain happens.
Okay, and suddenly the trust is broken. And now somebody knows about my story. I don't mind them. But the fact is, I told you in confidence because I found a safe space in Jesus with you. And now suddenly my view of Christ being trusted in a safe space is totally warped because suddenly you went and used it against me. And I think that's, if I'm correct, that to me is like,
that's how it looks if it's unsafe.
And that's how it's unsafe, you know. And then it gets repeated over and over again when that person's confronted.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I think it's noticeable here, Grant, that it says healing is connected to honesty. What is our role? It is to trust God for healing, restoration, deliverance, all of those things. But we have to take the first step, first towards God and say, God, I identify, I'm honest, I repent. Then he says, confess your sins to one another. And so then we are honest about it. That means there's no masks. That means there's no pretending. And you can't suffer silently. As men, we love to suffer silently. And I know there's a certain truth to that, because we want to protect our families, our wives. We don't want them to worry. We don't want them to suddenly stress about anything, or that things are going south because you're really trying your best. It's just, there needs to be a place where you walk it out with a boot, you know, that that can help you.
In a safe space.
In a safe space.
Yeah. Proverbs 28, verse 13 says, whoever conceals their sin does not prosper.
Wow.
But the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. And so what I find is that secrecy keeps us as men stuck. And that's what you've been saying. Mm-hmm. So we can fall into that trap. We can get stuck. And this scripture is, I think there's so much in it, because what does it mean to prosper?
Mm-hmm.
And prosperity isn't just financially. It's in all areas of our lives.
Yeah.
And he said, but whoever confesses and renounces them will find mercy. And that's also interesting. If we'll find mercy. It doesn't say you will find prosperity, but you will find mercy. Mm. And so the truth will set us free.
Right.
We would have to walk it out. It is not just going into a coffee shop saying, this is what I've been doing wrong.
Yeah.
That's not how it works.
That's a confession.
That's just a confession part. But walking it out, that's why the brotherhood exists.
Yeah. And if we don't confess and renounce and find God's mercy, and we still stay in that secrecy, we find that we start performing.
Yeah.
We start comparing. And it's because of we don't feel safe, we feel insecure, and that's what a biblical brotherhood then does. It actually removes that need to perform. It allows you to be, and there's an acceptance of who you are, not your sin. Very important. We will be kind enough to tell you the truth.
Amen.
And then you need to make the choice with Jesus which direction you're going to go. Because if you're lost in a wood and you know, and you've got a compass, and the compass is saying you need to go southwest, but you're heading northeast, of course, if you want to try and find the road, you're going to obviously follow the compass. So that's where Holy Spirit works within the brotherhood.
Yeah.
I think that brings us also then, to a scripture that says, Psalms 32, verse 3 to 5, it talks about hidden sin and relief and relief of confession. But it just says stop pretending. And that's where healing begins. And so brotherhood then also is not control in that sense, because it's so easy to feel controlled by other guys when you feel so vulnerable. But it's actually just mutual accountability. And a lot of men get nervous in this space, Grant, because accountability is being misused. But biblical accountability isn't control. It's about formation.
Amen.
I just want to unpack formation for
do.
A second. Formation equals shaping a man into who God's called him to be. And biblical accountability focuses on the heart before the habit, the belief before the behavior, and the direction before the perfection. And I'm going to say it again, the heart before the habit, the belief before behavior, and direction before perfection. So it asks, who are you becoming? It says, what's shaping your desires right now? And where is God inviting obedience or trust. Because the goal isn't control. The goal is Christ-likeness. And Hebrews 10, verse 24 says, let us consider how we spur one another on towards love and good deeds.
Mm. When I sit in a conversation with someone, and I've grown in this, I think, over the years, but in the beginning, I just thought discipleship is me talking to someone, giving good advice. Mm-hmm. But as we grow in this scripture, discipleship and brotherhood is more about asking the correct questions.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the questions that we should ask when we walk in brotherhood is, for instance, what are you believing right now?
Mm-hmm.
Because when you face something, when you work through something,
mm-hmm.
that question can unlock what the Holy Spirit wants to bring into the situation. So yeah. Belief, our belief systems, for instance, mm-hmm. is so powerful.
Very much.
If our mind goes into the incorrect direction, we're going to get into a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Or where are your thoughts drifting to? Mm-hmm. We find our thoughts drifting into things that it shouldn't go to.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, what's God asking obedience in right now? So the brotherhood will always walk with one another into a space of godly obedience. We cannot just talk about issues.
Mm.
And I've experienced this so much in my own life. I will sit and talk about my issues, but God is asking, what decision are you making, and are you going to be obedient to this? So it's a very important question when we walk this out. It's about the heart and not just our behavior.
So true, Grant, because Galatians 6 verse 1 to 2 gives us the posture. Now, the posture is like when we sit here in the podcast and Elandre says to me, you're not sitting up straight. So now I've got to look at how I sit. It's my intent. Mm-hmm. It communicates something. So am I going to lean into what God's saying, or am I going to draw back? Because that my posture then is I'm sitting back, I'm slouching, and I'm not really interested. But now I'm sitting up straight and I'm leaning in. It communicates purpose. It communicates, I'm in. I'm going to engage. And I think that's so important when it says, restore him gently and carry each other's burdens.
Yeah, amen.
You know, it's mutual. It's graceful. But you see, again, getting back to that part where we allow God to shape and form us through one another and not control. In the past, accountability was asking for permission.
Mm.
Hey, Grant, can I buy this car? Hey, Grant, can I do this?
Absolutely, Eddie. Buy the Volvo.
Yeah. Throw a couple of donuts. You know? But at the end of the day, that's not the point.
Yeah.
The point is, whether we make mistakes or not, I'm there.
Mm.
I walk with you. And eventually, our relationship and our brother, what we walk through, gets to such a place of maturity, we begin to carry each other's burdens.
Amen.
There's an accountability. Amen. It's not an equalization thing.
No.
I respect you for who you are, and you respect me for who I am, but there is a mutual understanding and it's actually so sacred because it's how it should look. It's not unhealthy. You know, and I think that's what's so amazing about when you walk in a space where there's grace and not condemnation.
Yeah, amen. Proverbs 27 verse 17 reminds me of something important. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And you know, when I sharpen the knives in the house, I use this machine, but it actually takes off a sliver of the material, of the metal.
As long as it's not your finger.
As long as it's not my fingers. And so this scripture says that we will sharpen, we will take, we will, there is a bit of iron that will be removed when iron sharpens iron. That means that we will talk about something, but it will take some energy.
Mm-hmm.
It will take something in the relationship, all of the above that we've said, trust and walking it through.
Mm-hmm.
But when we start sharpening that iron, all of that is in place so that we can sharpen the space. But a thin sliver of material will have to be taken away, and that sometimes hurts.
It does.
When someone tells me, Grant, you have to, in that mutual accountability, you have to work on this. You can't stay the same. And so I want God's best for the person and for me at the same time. There's a balancing.
That's amazing, because then when you use that knife, it cuts the steak well.
It does.
So if it gets used, it's sharp.
Yeah.
You know, and that's so good. So the closing challenge for all of us here is, what is real biblical brotherhood? It's rooted in Christ. It's honest and safe, and we are mutually accountable to one another. For all the Liverpool fans, you will never walk alone.
Yeah.
Those you follow football will know, but you never mean to walk alone.
Yeah, amen to that, Eddie. I think our challenge for us during this month, and as we listen to this podcast, is ask yourself, who knows me beyond that surface? And if the answer is no one, we've got a slight problem. But take courage. I want to tell everyone, take courage in this. Take that first step. Make that first call. Reach out to your fellow brother in mentoring, and step out in courage.
Yeah. And reach out, yeah, invite one another for coffee.
Yeah.
You know, take him with to the petrol station, because it's these days the best place to go, where it's quite an expensive date to go to, or wherever. Well, that's not a date together, right? let's cut that one out. But invite one another, and, be honest and start a conversation. I think at the end of the day, it's taking that first step, Grant.
Yeah, it is, because men don't grow in isolation. We grow in brotherhood.
Amen. So, guys, thank you for listening today. Share this podcast with your friends. There is material with it. And, we trust that you've learned something from this, and that you will really trust God to find that one person, that one or a couple of brothers that you can find safety in, so that you can become everything that God has called you to be, a purposeful man. We'll see you on the next episode.